Item number one.
From the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, Division of Transportation System Development, providing a presentation on Plan 2014 and 2015 Zoo Interchange Construction, including information on schedules, construction staging, detours, and traffic mitigation.
Thank you, and good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And thank you for coming. Introduce yourself to the committee and people who are listening.
Absolutely. I'm Bob Gutierrez, Southeast Freeways Chief, Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Good morning. Ryan Luck, also with WISDOT, Southeast Freeways Construction Chief.
And Claudia Peterson, Technical Services Chief for the Southeast Freeway.
Excellent. Is your mic on? You see a little red light up?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
All right. You know you have 15 to 20 minutes.
Absolutely.
I want to thank you for coming in. I know you had this earlier at the Tommy Thompson area, but I thank you for coming and briefing the committee. It's your floor.
Well, it's very timely that we're here. Last Friday, we kicked off the reconstruction of the zoo interchange. The governor of Wisconsin and Supervisor Taylor were there. So again, thank you, along with Brian Drancic, for attending that event. Again, we're very excited as we start the reconstruction of the $1.7 billion zoo interchange, limits being to the north, Burleigh, to the south, Lincoln, to the west, 124th Street, and then to the east, 70th Street. We've talked about the need, the purpose and need of the zoo interchange. I won't readdress that whole thing because we are in construction, so we'd like to talk to you a little bit about the impacts of the zoo. Okay. on your folks. And we're going to start off with 2014, go through 2015, and see what we've got planned. We've let over $150 million worth of construction lets just this year, and I'll let Ryan take over on the construction for 2014.
Okay. Thank you. We brought some boards with us to kind of help show a little bit of what's going on. But as Bob said, yes, we've already had some success on the program with Highway 100 between I-94 and Watertown Plank, very far along and on schedule. So we're ready to open that later this fall. Greenfield Avenue was reconstructed, and I'm going to talk in a minute about Swan Boulevard. So I'm going to stand up and maybe point at one of these boards, okay, if that's okay.
I'd like to take us through right now. I talked about Greenfield Avenue being completed. We also are working very heavily on Swan Boulevard right now. That's a key reconstruction that's integral in our traffic mitigation plan. So that bridge deck is going to be poured, and we're going to be ready to open that before the end of the year. So that'll be great. Discovery Parkway was just recently opened by Wauwatosa. So things are coming along. This bypass route is key for when we close this intersection for Watertown Plank at the beginning of the year, of the new year of 2014. So let me step back for a moment and talk about the three work zones that are currently underway. We just recently let and have given issues to proceed on all three of these new projects, about $160 million of additional work going on. This work in all three work zones will continue this fall and into all of 2014. So let me start with the first one here on the east leg of the zoo interchange. This is the one you see on I-94 towards about 76th Street. It involves the complete reconstruction, removal and reconstruction of the brand new 76th Street Bridge, along with some reconstruction of the frontage road at Kearney on the south side, and also some ramp work, and most importantly, a box culvert realignment, the Honey Creek Parkway box culvert, which most people don't know goes underneath I-94 in a very large box culvert. It's being realigned to come to the west and then back underneath I-94 just west of 84th Street. So that will involve extensive tunneling operations that are going to be going on. That's why the on-ramps were closed. So there's going to be large pipes being tunneled underneath I-94 and also frontage road reconstruction. So our team is managing that. The removal and reconstruction of 76th Street won't occur until next year. So we're coordinating all that work, and that's about a $35 million package. The next project area is to the west of the zoo interchange. We call this the West Leg area. It's the Highway 100 interchange. It includes a railroad reconstruction of a brand new railroad bridge. So we're coordinating heavily with UP Rail. And also, this work is an add-on to the work that will just be completed this fall on Highway 100 to the north. So this involves some closures of ramps. You'll also know this is a hot spot for ATC, high-power electrical lines, so they're in there in advance. That's what they've been doing this past summer, relocating and realigning and putting new towers in there. We've been coordinated extensively with Claudia and Bob's team with the utility companies to make sure things are coordinated well and done safely. So this project will have some impacts later in November on these ramps. The eastbound on-ramp and the westbound off-ramp will be closed. We will provide alternate routes. Bob's going to talk a little bit about that. And this project will also extend into late 2014. This is a $73 million contract. Lastly, the Watertown Plank Interchange, where we had the groundbreaking event. This interchange is a $66 million project. It will start later this fall. We've already coordinated the work with the Swan Boulevard reconstruction. This project will involve a full closure of the east-west portion of Watertown Plank, and it is going to be very fast-paced all of next year. We've been working extensively, putting utility relocations in there right now so that when we put the new infrastructure on top of it, all the utilities are relocated. A lot of coordination with county and all the utility companies. I'm going through Claudia's efforts and Bob's as well. So we've also worked extensively with the MRMC to make sure that ingress and egress is maintained, solving a lot of problems, a lot of challenges, making sure all the stakeholders' expectations are met. So this project will finish up in 2014, and it will be a state-of-the-art interchange, as you can see in the picture over there. Bob will probably talk a little bit about that. So we're working very closely out of our field office, establishing connections with all the key stakeholders, the zoo, State Fair Park, Milwaukee County. A lot of impacts, you know, with these projects on the Milwaukee County facilities. You know, there's been a lot of groundwork laid. We're going to continue to leverage those partnerships and make sure that expectations are met as we get through the construction challenges. And with that, I'm going to hand it over to Bob to talk a little bit about the larger impacts as we go forward.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Okay, fantastic. Like Ryan had indicated, we've really have put our sequence of work in the proper order. We built what we call the box around the core interchange, and that box would be Highway 100, Watertown Plank, Blue Mound Road, Greenfield Avenue, Capitol Drive up to the north, and even National to the south. We've made significant improvements for our traffic mitigation plan as we go and continue into the reconstruction of the core. The view up there shows you in blue 15, 16, and 17, the reconstruction of the core interchange, and you can see that 17 through 18 is really the north leg up towards Burleigh. So what have we done, and what are the impacts of the core interchange in the future? We've got a couple of boards here that kind of show you a little bit about what I'm talking through. And when we do address the core interchange, what happens is the reconstruction of the system ramps. So from 894 to 94, or from 94 to 45 north, These system ramps, which handle, and the through ramps, which handle over 350,000 vehicles a day, will have to, at times, not be there. So I'm going to go through 2014 and 15, the system ramp closures through those 2 years. We've got the north to the west. So from the north to the west, that system ramp will be closed. From the east to the north, that system ramp will be closed, and then from the west to the south. That's all to provide Ryan and the construction team the ability to reconstruct the core interchange, as we call Core 1. We move to 15 and 16, then the west to the south continues to be closed, and that's probably the longest and most largest impact to folks. So south to west ramp, and then from the south to east. So we've got a 24-month closure. So as you're heading westbound and you're going south, that closure is 30 months. And what we've done is with the reconstruction of the Mitchell Interchange, we provided that alternate route to the south, just like what we when we were reconstructing the Mitchell Interchange, we used the Zoo Interchange for that diversion. So we expect folks to take that diversional route as they're going to either Hales Corners or Greenfield. We would expect that they would take the Mitchell Interchange route. Other routes provided will be National Avenue, Greenfield Avenue, and such for the detour while we're reconstructing those system-to-system ramps. with that, then, you know, we'll move up to the north and finish off the entire zoo interchange project just north of Swan Boulevard up through Burleigh, and that'll complete the project.
You're done?
Yeah, we're done.
Well, okay. Thank you very much.
Well, we'd like to, you know, leave it for questions. And
There's two questions real quick, then I'll open up. All the exits and on-ramps will be, when you exit the freeway, will be on the right, and even when you come from 894 to 94, that will exit on the right versus how you go now to 894 to the left?
Yeah, so the way we pick up capacity, safety, and movement through the interchanges now, everything to the right, and they actually end up going on their own collector-distributor road. So they're off of mainline and provide the weaving on that slower speed ramp.
Any other, and this is economic development from Milwaukee, southeastern Wisconsin, how much money actually businesses will get money from this project from southeastern Wisconsin? I know people from all over the state, but out of $165 million, can you quantify how many people from Milwaukee County got a little of that piece of that pie?
Yeah, that's going to be very difficult. We're in the road and bridge building business, not so much in the economic forecasting. But I would just venture to say that, you know, the work that is performed here, even though we have had some out-of-state contractors like Walsh be the prime contractor, a lot of the subcontractors that perform work are from Wisconsin. They are from good-paying jobs right here, from residents right here. So there's sometimes a concern that competitive bidding processes can damage that. But we've seen up to 70% of the workers that perform the work have been from Wisconsin, and so they're good-paying jobs that are staying here. That's from the construction industry side of it. Some projections on economic growth and support for that, I would probably ask that we get those from other folks that are more knowledgeable on that. But I think we've seen that, you know, renewing infrastructure is very important, and it allows prosperity and investment and dollars to stay here, much like we've seen in the Marquette and Mitchell Interchange and many other of these facilities that we build.
Yeah. At the groundbreaking event, we did talk about economic development. Although we were talking about safety, but Watertown Point Interchange in itself, $66 million investment. And what does that provide the Milwaukee Regional Medical Center or the Research Park the ability to do? It attracts, or the new UWM campus. It allows them to attract larger businesses, and will continue that that good faith effort that they've been doing, you know, in the past into the future. The North Lake will provide for Mayfair Crossing that ability for people to, you know, get up and into that new development up there. Dollars and cents, big.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Senator Bukowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Go right here.
Editorial comment first, and then I have. And that is that it seems to me that residents in Milwaukee County are under perpetual construction in this area. And let's face it, okay, and I understand why we need to do it, but let's also realize that this is a huge imposition to drivers. Okay, and for us to not even mention that or whatever, I think is not being truthful, because you know, it's the delays, it's the traffic, it's the mess, and so, you know, I know we can tout all of these good things, all right, but the other thing is that as people drive by, you know exactly what they're thinking and what they're saying. So. That's my editorial comment. Now, what I did not hear any of you say, which is disappointing, you talked county general, and I was made aware earlier this summer that our children's court doesn't seem to be getting any kind of attention that it deserves from people coming in, be it employees, people being able to exit. It's not just employees. Obviously, there's courts that are going on a daily basis. That is a huge operation. Now, I know that Brian Dranzik has been involved, and I've been to a couple of meetings with the presiding judge, Joe Donald, out there. I would hope that you are all cognizant of those people and how they're able to get in and get out, not just the employees, but the people that are there for court.
Yeah, absolutely. On the children's court, we've been working with the judge for the past several years, not just 1 year, but over extensive 3 year development of ingress egress to that area. We've also had to work with Research Park as they own parcels that connect and drive over. So what we've done is work with Bill Drew and his folks, along with Brian, who is representing Children's Court in that respect, to provide access, ingress, and egress. We also work with Milwaukee Transit System, because we understand that folks are taking that type of transportation to get to Children's Court. So what we've done is provided a circuitous route for Milwaukee Transit to be able to drop off folks at Children's Court. So we do have that in place.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The budget and financing page talks about the current allocation of $586 million. I thought I heard somewhere that the timeline had changed because the funding commitment had changed. What is that current $486 million get us? Because it says continuation dependent on future state budgets. So where does the current allocation carry us, and at what point would the project become delayed if those allocations were... allocations weren't made.
Absolutely. So the way the state budget is put forth every 2 years in the biennium budget, so that asterisk says that we cannot tell future legislators what they're going to be spending their money on. Mm-hmm. All right? And they make that decision as part of the budget process. So that's what really that asterisk is saying. The project is on schedule. And completion late 2018. So the supportive dollars that were put in this biennium budget do exactly what Ryan had talked about, along with what we call Core 1, the first phase of the core interchange. So, but we have to put that asterisk in there because we cannot go against state statutes and tell legislators what they will be spending their money on in the future.
I understand that. I guess I don't visually I don't understand though what portion of the project is not included in the already committed funding. So at what portion of the project is dependent on the next biennium?
Yeah. So
funding?
We have what core one. Core one is
core,
in
core two. Then.
Well, core one is in the current $486 million. So what you see on that map, plus the blue area, is actually divided into two large packages. There are anywhere from $200 to $300 million each, and the first package is in the $486 million allocation currently budgeted. So the second half of that interchange would be in the next biennium budget request. So I know that.
Is that the north-south section, or?
Well, I think the way we know that Core One is including the east section.
Yeah. Yes.
And can you show what's east and north and west?
Yeah. I don't know, you can probably take it.
Okay. So Core 1 got over about $190 million in our Core 1 package. And that will include the reconstruction of this entire lake to the east and parts of what we call Blue Mountain and Wisconsin Avenue. That's our pinch point right up there, by the way. So when you talk about affecting people driving in Milwaukee County, that is really our pinch point right there. We'll also be doing a couple of system ramps and starting the foundations for the large. The Core 2 package will really hit the south leg and the rest of the west leg, along with these
the large flyover ramps.
Large flyover ramps that you see on the Marquette. So the interchange will look similar to the Marquette with large flyover system ramps. So that's what you're going to get in the Core 2. And that'll complete that, along with what I mentioned, this purple part. We do have a we
It gets to say, this is what I think I'd be glad to say we're good at. This is what we did on the Marquette. We're making sure that we can maintain two lanes of traffic in each direction during the AM and PM peak through this work zone. We're trying to be very smart about getting the work done that we can do. So we're going to be drilling deep foundation shafts when the work zone's available. And then when we get to the next package, we're bringing in large pieces of steel and lots of cranes and bringing the girders up and putting the decks on them. You know, this is what we've done with two large interchanges. So we try to package it efficiently so that it matches the budget expectations of the legislature and also that we can maintain schedule. So this is kind of where our design and construction teams work together to get the best possible results for the community and the taxpayers.
So, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the significance of the investment. I believe there's a lawsuit related to this MICA and Black Health Coalition related to the extent to which the department may or may not have looked at transit and mitigation and other issues. Do you know what are the plaintiffs looking to be included in the project as? If are you familiar with that what's alleged to not have happened and what would the what would they seek as the outcome?
So I really wish I could talk about that. Okay. But because we are in negotiations with the plaintiffs with the judge at this point in time, really can't comment too much on that. I just can't. Okay. It's still there.
Without commenting on the actual state of negotiation, are you able to tell me what did they ask for? Like, what did they want to be the? Obviously, no one gets everything they want, but what did they want to be the action of the department?
You know, again, you can read the articles as it is, and as far as our understanding, it's additional transit aids for traffic mitigation as people travel through. Kind of like what Supervisor Borkowski was talking about, what is Wisconsin Department of Transportation doing to help folks in Milwaukee County get to their homes, to their jobs? So it's part of that.
Okay. Supervisor Washon Taylor in Jersey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you just make some more specific comments about the impact on the Milwaukee County Zoo? We touched just a little bit about the impact on the Court Center and the Research Park. But is there any other details that need to be made aware of on that, about Milwaukee County specific properties?
You mentioned specifically Milwaukee County Zoo, and I'm going to let Claudia talk to you, but I just wanted to show you a different view of the proposed interchange. This is your Milwaukee County Zoo right here, and the real impact is this ramp that goes towards downtown is the biggest impact on the zoo and their temporary parking. I'll let Claudia talk a little bit about where she's at with the appraisals and assessments of that impact.
We've been meeting regularly with the representatives from the county zoo. We're in the process of getting our appraisal done, and they're in the process of getting their appraisal done. We expect that process to be completed around the first of the year. We'll then exchange those appraisals and work to negotiate what the impacts financially are to the county zoo. So at this point, it would be premature to tell you what that financial impact would be, but we're hoping that there's ways to, you know, fix the impacts that we're taking on the temporary parking. There's other alternatives that could happen.
Is that our working group that she's referring to when she says we're representatives from the zoo?
Yes, it is. There's and specific to the zoo site, they're working largely with Chuck Wickenhauser and the zoo folks for that property because it is such a unique property that they're working with that group along with our attorney, Alan Markovitz, for our representation, as we have with the other parcels on Watertown Plank.
Okay. All right. Could you explain a little bit more? It would be the Mayfair Road and
I guess you're working on, as you said, the box to kind of divert all the traffic around. And could you just make some comments on that whole Mayfair Road piece, Highway 100, and how, I guess, finished or completed that will be before your core construction starts?
Okay, I also want to touch on the zoo, too, is that not only from the real estate perspective, our traffic design and our construction traffic teams are also meeting very closely with the zoo. There will be a portion of time in late 2014 and early 2015 where the Blue Mound Avenue Bridge, which is very close to the zoo, will be out of commission and reconstructed, so we'll be working with them on alternate routes. We also work very closely on special event coordination to make sure that we don't impact them unnecessarily and we can get the word out on, you know, zoo free days and things like that to make sure that transit and everything is coordinated through construction. So with that, the Highway 100 project at Watertown Plank and also the 8-lane facility. So I'm really excited that when we're able to open that, I think it's going to be a great facility for mobility and alternate route work. We will have that done in late 2014. I'm sorry, 2013, this year, and then Watertown Plank at the end of 2014. That will be a free flow interchange, so we're really anticipating that that will be a great area for people to get off and on from the freeway system on the north side of the zoo and then access other areas and businesses through the Highway 100 corridor. We've also done Glenview Avenue to the east and upgraded those routes to the east and to the south. Another key component that is going to be key to this success is our adaptive signal technology, which I think up to 50 signalized intersections are going to have this new optimized traffic signal integration technology, which will allow up to 50 signals to speak to each other and maximize the green time for throughput. So if we're seeing platoons of cars in any one area due to a traffic diversion or incident, it will allocate green time to maximize throughput for the customers and businesses of the general area. So it's innovative, and I think it's going to be very effective for us to mitigate some of the traffic. Is there anything more specific I can address?
Well, I guess when you drive through that area now, you know, as all construction projects, you know, 1 week they look total disarray, next week it seems to be finished magically, kind of stuff. That's why I was just wondering how you sync these things up with then your development of, as you start to tear apart that core section, to see how much, I guess, increased traffic will be handled on that corridor.
Yeah, we put our plan together, we maintain it, we don't ever anticipate that it's a perfect plan. We always stand ready to modify and tweak. We do monitor. We make sure that the customers are going where we think they're going. And if they're not, we make sure that we get our messages out there, both on the freeway for message boards and public information. And also we reach out to businesses and employers. The Research Park heavily, we've been doing a lot of business lunch information to get to the people that are coming and going. Also the MRMC customer base. We've done extensive working. We met again just last Friday with all their groups, and they're up to 30,000 customers and employees that come in and out of that work zone, which will be a work zone. You know, it's their home. But we really put a lot of time into making sure that we do understand that it's their home and their livelihood and their business, and that we're coming in. So we put a lot of effort into that.
So when we did the rehabilitation of the East-West Freeway 2 years back, we also did a study of where those cars would be going. We expect about 40% diversion of traffic onto the other routes that I had indicated previously. So if we're talking about 160,000 vehicles in the cardinal directions, east, west, north, south, and we're going to be taking a lane from each one of those cars need to actually end up using these alternate routes that we put into place. So I guess that's...
Right, it's just, mm-hmm. Well, I guess my... I appreciate the work you guys have been doing, but one of this, I think, though, too, especially with Highway 100 is, you know, the thought of maybe, you know, are we overbuilding some of this stuff? To think that Highway 100 would be four lanes in each direction, turning lanes and all of that, and the impact. And I'm concerned about, okay, I can understand it to a certain extent, how close you are to the main freeway, expressway area. But now, as that starts to creep south and as it the impacts on the city of West Dallas and Greenfield and as we go farther south on Highway 100, I'm not sure four lanes in each direction is the best concept and the impact on the community and the businesses.
And we do have a study that we just started for the Highway 100, the other parts that have not been reconstructed, and you'll have that opportunity during those public information meetings and then ultimately a public hearing for the reconstruction of those portions. And I understand, not everything fits the same segment of highway. You're absolutely right.
Thank you. Thanks for your time today.
Supervisor Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple questions on the delays. In terms of going north 894 to west 94, it says early 15, late 15. What's the alternate route on that? What are you going to be recommending for those? I have a lot of my constituents in Oak Creek and Franklin travel that direction to Brookfield and that to work. So what's the best route to get out there? Really proactive.
We'll take it. I think we approach it from the macro to the micro.
Okay.
One perspective will be major trucking will be alerted way back prior to the Mitchell interchange that they have some choices that they could make either to go north towards downtown and come through on the westbound portion, all depending on their destination. So the first cut is to try to take people that take that route just due to convenience and get them to select an alternate route. And, of course, our variable message signs that show travel times will also be informative for that. So we will provide information prior to decision points to get the vehicles on a better route prior to them coming in and having knowledge of that closure. For regular travelers, we're also going to be using Greenfield Avenue as one of our primary routes for detouring. We're making modifications at the Greenfield and Highway 100 right turn to make that a signalized or highly improved operational right turn so it's safer and can handle more vehicles. And making sure that we have good flow through upgrading left turn signals and timing to get back onto 94 West, for example.
So that wouldn't be going north. You get off on Greenfield. That'd be one route and go.
Yeah, we
west.
Have, and for almost all of these system ramp closures, we have a tiered approach to
sure.
regional,
okay.
and then local, and then depending on the type of user, and then we will all go out to the businesses and employers and try to make sure that they're aware of the choices that they have.
So the third tier, in case you've missed everything and missed every sign and missed. And you continue north,
right.
You'll get off at the new Watertown Plank interchange and we'll actually have signs directing you back through that interchange, then south and then to the west. So we've thought about just about everybody.
That's heavy. So then if you reverse it and you're going eastbound 94 to south 894, I didn't see the in here, maybe I missed it, but I was looking a couple
times. I think you meant the westbound to southbound ramp.
Yeah.
Right, no, I know.
Okay.
I understood that. But if you're now coming east from, let's say, Brookfield, going to go to Hales Corners and that,
yes.
I don't see when that is there going to
be. That one doesn't close.
That one doesn't close at all. So that's not effective whatsoever.
Right.
Regarding the financing, I know Supervisor Lipscomb brought up that you can't, or you mentioned that you can't tie future legislator, that 2 year. But what's the likelihood they're not going to fund the next 2 years and just leave a project hanging in the wind? It would be my thought. And then finally, when you build these interchanges, you do it based on looking at current traffic, but then future traffic. You did that with Marquette, and you've already had to go back in a very short period of time and make some corrections, which caused more headaches for people leaving downtown and going either west or going south. When we do this, have we thought of everything? I mean, I know we can't think of everything, but it is, as Supervisor Borkowski said, it's frustrating because it feels like we're always doing construction, and the Marquette was done and complete, and you had some real problems, bottleneck going south and then going west. So do you envision how long would this handle the traffic before you'd have to go back and make some?
Yeah, absolutely. We look for a 20-year frame there,
okay.
For our traffic projections. So that's what we build for. The Mitchell Interchange has been built out in all the legs as far as that goes. The Marquette Interchange came a little bit short on the west leg for the total reconstruction. There were plans to ultimately have that a little bit longer, and that would have taken care of that. But because of dollars needed, um, They were a little short on that, so that never did get completed. We do have an interim fix, which is working positively now. And then as part of the east-west reconstruction and evaluation of that corridor, that's also included in that.
And that will solve. So then that will be connected. That will be a full connection then?
Yes. And as far as the zoo goes down, we go down to Lincoln. Will there continue to be some bottlenecks at Oklahoma or at the Hale Interchange? Yeah. Yes. Until we... as far as need, Supervisor Bukowski, everything was built, and Taylor, everything was designed and built through the 50s and 60s. We're at that time period, and it just, design need, safety is first, ultimate. Updating the design, and then the infrastructure down below is really to a point where it needs to be replaced.
Thank you.
Supervisor Jersey.
Could you tell us where the staging area is for the initial project? And I don't know if it changes, but what is the main staging area?
Yeah, for all three work zones, we do not have a official set-aside staging area. What contractors typically do is they, once they get an executed contract in their possession, they have the legal right within the right-of-way to set up their operations, bring in materials, and we work with them to do so. So I think what you're going to see, if we look to the Watertown Plank interchange, the park and ride in the southwest quadrant is going to be closed on November 1st. And that's going to be a key area for contractor operations due to its large size and flat terrain. But that's not to say that the contractor may not put equipment in other areas. But essentially, it's within the footprint of the project work zone where we'll see different operations. 76th Street, I think once the utility companies are out on the southern side of I-94, you're going to see men and equipment brought in there in coordination with some of the state fair lands. And at the Highway 100 area, most of that is probably going to be coordinated in association with some of the utility work. We're working together very closely. I mentioned earlier that we're kind of all sharing the same space. We've been talking about how to keep traffic cop in there with all the different equipment coming through there. So that'll generally be on either side, north or south of I-94 on the Highway 100 work zone. So generally everything will be pretty close to the work zone, and it'll be a very busy place.
And, I heard you started early, and a business was somewhat upset because they had been counting on some parking that was lost. We're talking about the Halloween business near State Park.
I'd be glad to clarify that.
Yeah, please go ahead.
There were several stories on that, but we had purchased a temporary limited easement for that, and we set up our operations right on what we had agreed to. And I think the property owner was, our contractor talked to them, and he had concerns, and rightly so. I mean, I think he makes his livelihood in one week in time. If we all were in that situation, we'd be nervous too. So we kept the front door open. We kept the parking available. And, it just goes to say, like what you said, we take our job very seriously. Construction affects people's lives and businesses. They get very nervous and apprehensive. And we were glad that, we can work with the businesses, even Big Pumpkins that set up right next to our work zones. It's business, and we do have to work together to alleviate concerns.
And my comment was going to be with regard to schedules, because probably the most common question I get from my constituents, even though I don't have constituents in this area, but certainly the Home Bridge area is one, is they want to know when you're going to do it and when it's going to be done. And I know those, especially the finishing dates, are always subject to change from weather, construction delays, acts of God, et cetera. And I usually tell constituents that. But the starting dates are usually pretty close to being right on. And I don't know if you expect changes in that, but we certainly need to know if you're changing schedules, because that's what constituents want to hear about.
Yeah, I don't believe we did on that project, but it may have been a perception that it wouldn't have come so close.
My last question, Mr. Chair, is for Ryan Dranzik. I mean, I think we have a lot of county departments in this whole area. And some of the supervisors have already mentioned some of them: the zoo, children's court, the research park, county grounds, park administration, children's court, highway sheriff, et cetera. And from Mr. Dranzik, I'd like to hear how you proceed with all of those departments. I assume the departments have input when it specifically affects their department. But where does the buck stop when we have a concern and a complaint with regard to planning for, let's take the zoo parking lot and interruptions there. Is that your department that is chiefly responsible? How are you overseeing all that?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, our department is basically the lead agency for all the other departments. Zoo is, we're working closely with the zoo. It's a little bit different because the impacts there are more unique, and there's some different impacts on the zoo. But we've worked with all of the county agencies along Watertown Plank individually, in a group, with a group, and then as the project team for the state has worked with them independently, they'll work with those specific facilities for the specific needs that arise. You're right, behavioral health, children's court, our site, parks, there's a lot in that quarter. There's a lot of county facilities in that quarter. And the important message that we've made clear to the state is that these are 24/7 operations as well. There's a need to maintain access to that. So it's a constant message that we're providing back to the state. It's something that we're working through with the affected users. As a matter of fact, we've got a meeting this afternoon to talk more about how construction is going to work through there. So we are the agency working directly with them. And if there's any concerns, you can direct them our way, and we'll make sure that gets made clear.
And are you satisfied that we're going to maybe not completely satisfy the public, because no one likes to have construction delays, but that we have at least assured public access?
I think we're still working towards that. We're going to see how that goes through the construction piece. I think one of the big things that we have to work on now going forward is communication. And making sure that as the stages of this work done on Watertown Plank keep moving along, that communication keeps people apprised of exactly what's going on and when. Like I said, if we've got facilities that have a variety of shifts, we have to make sure that those people at different shift times know exactly what's going on. So that communication may need to come early. Now, the zoo team is working with, other entities in that area, like the medical complex, that have similar needs. So it's not something that's going to be difficult. It's just something that we need to make sure is happening for us.
Yeah. And with regard to emergency vehicles getting into the hospital and so on, special arrangements have been made.
Yeah, we're making sure that there is access to all of those facilities for emergency vehicles. Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. I want to say thank you for coming. Thank you for taking time out and updating us. Can we have your business card for the clerk so we can put it into the record? Again, thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Madam Clerk, call item number 2.